3.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Idiomatic Top 3, Episode 2. Dos.
I'm Nicholas, I'm the gaming correspondent for Idiomatic.
And I am Dimitri, editor-in-chief of Idiomatic.com. And movie critic! And what are we talking about? Neither gaming nor movies.
Yeah, but you know, we have other interests.
Absolutely, and that's why we have this podcast.
Yeah.
And well, following up on our conversation from 2 weeks ago, we're going to now talk about the spin-off series we don't like, because 2 weeks ago we talked about the spin-off series we did like. Just click on the link, like the old episodes are still there for you guys.
And they're awesome.
If we do say so ourselves.
Exactly.
So I gotta admit, in terms of bad spin-off series, this was way easier to find than the good ones.
Yeah.
But almost harder to pick a top three because there's just so many of them that are awful.
I know. I mean, just I think it's just people, you know, oh, this series has a lot of success. You know, what can we do to more cash grab? And that's why I'm guessing the bad ones are more popular. There are more of them, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? And all spin-off series are cash grabs. Like, even the good ones. It's not like there's never an organic time where you go like, hey, you know what? I'm going to split my writing staff in two and make this other show, and that's going to work out for everyone. Like, no. You're trying to make more money, which is fine because I don't write for free either.
Yeah.
But it often leads to some premature concepts that are thought a bit haphazardly.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about them. So, let's get started right away. What is your number 3 pick for worst spin-off series?
America's Funniest People. A while ago, you know, very long time ago, there was America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, that was between the 1980s and the early 1990s.
Yeah, with Bob Saget. And I was younger, so I thought it was funny. I even thought Bob Saget was funny. But then, you know, they realized, you know, we can make a second show about that. And the second show was about, you know, people acting funny. Whereas the first show, you know, it's about accidents that happen, people falling down, just random stuff that you see all over the internet now. It was kind of enjoyable. The second show was just people showing off. It was like, oh, look, I can play a trumpet with my nose. It was like, yeah, that's great, but that's not funny, you know? And it was just half an hour of people trying to be funny with their home video, but it was very, very painful to watch.
I have a theory on how that show came to be. I think what happened was that they were taking videos from the public on America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah.
And they realized, well, that's kind of made me giggle, but he's so doing it on purpose. I can't take this.
Yeah.
And then they just put it in the same pile every time that would happen. And then one day a producer at ABC went like, that's a big pile you got there. What is that? And they explained what it was.
Yeah.
And a spinoff was born.
Yeah. I mean, just view it this way, you know. You're sitting in a restaurant, you see somebody crossing the street and, you know, they fall on their ass and they get up, you know. It's kind of funny, you know. You know, especially if the person's not hurt. But if you're eating at the same restaurant and you see the person getting everybody's attention and then jumping on their ass, that's not funny at all, you know.
That's true. And you know what's funny about it is that they pick the host in almost the same way. It's sort of like Bob Saget, who is this raunchy, great comedian, sort of stumbled onto something that just captured the spirit of the late 80s.
Yeah.
By being the nice dude with stupid voice, but like, you could tell that, like, that guy's mean in reality.
Yeah.
Like, mean in a good way, but, yeah. Like, you know. And he's, like, totally ABCing it up so as not to come off too mean. And that balance sort of worked.
Yeah.
And the same way that you have the perfunctory, like, videos that try too hard on America's Funniest People, you had Dave Coulier.
who does try too hard.
Exactly.
I don't know, people, you know, somebody makes funny voices, never made me laugh, so Coulier was really, he like, yeah, you're great for that show.
Yeah, as a kid, you know, I watched maybe 3-4 episodes of that after America's Funniest Videos. Like, I'm not proud of it, but I did watch an awful lot of America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah, we were kids, it was funny, and Today there's all of that on the internet now, and it's, you know, it's still funny.
I guess it's true.
You know, so But yeah, I watch Funniest Home Videos religiously, but Funniest People, after the first episode, I was like flabbergasted. It's like, what is this?
Yeah, I toughed a little bit longer, and I think I probably sat in front of the entire first season as a kid every Sunday. But I can tell you that probably around the fifth episode, I was starting to play with my G.I. Joes at the same time when the second half hour of that block would start.
Yep.
Anywho.
What is your number three?
My number three pick for worst spinoff is a spinoff of JAG.
Okay.
Or rather, a spinoff of a spinoff of JAG.
Wow.
I'm talking about NCIS Los Angeles.
Wow.
Now, I will give credit to NCIS Los Angeles for one thing.
Yeah?
It has a less stupid title than NCIS Crime Scenes Investigators.
That's what NCIS means.
Exactly. That's why. Because on top of that, it's like Navy NCIS Crime Scenes Investigators. It's like, okay, if you're going to explain what NCIS means in the title, like, put it all after the colon or all before the NCIS. Like, you can't split it up all over the place. Like, this is confusing. But NCIS Los Angeles, much easier to pronounce, much easier to understand as a title, and much easier to recognize as, like, this completely sellout property. I mean, it's got LL Cool J and Robin from Batman Robin as masters of disguise, investigating cases in Los Angeles for the military.
Sure,
why not? It's Night of the 90s has-beens.
Yeah, they need money too, you know.
And don't get me wrong, I like Chris O'Donnell, and I like LL Cool J. I think they're charismatic actors who deserve a career.
Yeah.
I just think the two of them together is a little bit too much. It's a little too 90s for me, and, you know...
Yeah, I watched a few episodes, and honestly, I cannot differentiate that one from any, you know, random other cop show. You need something to make it special, you know, make it pop, so that, you know, it stands above all the other ones.
Yeah, like NCIS actually had the fact that there were military cases, which, even though it's still an NCIS unit, that apparently has gone out the window.
Yeah. Like, you know, for example, another one, Castle, you know, Castle kind of pops up because of Nate Fillion, and that's pretty much it. But, you know, you watch it because he's hilarious and he's very good at what he does. So that kind of puts it above it for me, so I watch it. But, you know, if you don't have anything that makes differentiate the show from anything else, it's just lost in the noise for me.
Yeah, I agree. And they're masters of disguise. Like, that's actually part of the show as well.
Wow. I did not know that was a requirement to work in there.
It's like, what does that have to do with the NPs? Like, what does that have to do with military police?
I can just see what they fill in to get the job. Like, do you enjoy Halloween as a holiday? It's like, they hit no. It's like, okay, you can't have the job. Get out.
What I really want to see is Tom Cruise's Jack Reacher kicking their asses one day. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Because he's an ex-military investigator as well. It was a military investigator. But moving on!
That'd be cool to watch. I agree.
All right, what is your number two pick for worst spinoff series?
A very forgettable one called Time of Your Life, a spinoff of Party of Five. Which
I knew you were going to pick that. I knew it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically Party of Five was winding down. So they figured, yeah, let's make a spinoff with one of the characters, secondary character, which was Jennifer Love Hewitt, who was Bailey's girlfriend.
Yes.
And she looked good at the time, so sure, I'll give it a shot.
In fairness, she still kind of looks good.
Yeah, she still does, honestly. But now she plays, you know, a prostitute, so, you know, it's even more fun to watch. At the end, she has a series called The Client List.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, basically a prostitute, so they're not even trying to be subtle anymore. But
yeah, I think that boat sailed with Heartbreakers.
Yeah. But I mean, the concept is she goes to New York and she starts her new life there. But her life in New York is so boring that even her being cute did not save it.
It almost does, though. I gotta be honest, though. Like, I remember in one of the early episodes, and by which I mean one of the episodes, because that show lasted like six episodes.
Surprisingly 13, I think.
Okay, okay. Yeah,
it lasted, well, it just our attention span did not last as long. Yeah.
But it was not a full season.
Well, no, it stopped, and then they completed the season in the summer, I think.
Okay,
well, called it that's the, why. They called it the Summer of Love, and that promotion did not work.
That's kind of cute, though.
Yeah, it is.
But she's singing in a karaoke bar while pretending to be a bad singer and sort of giggling at the same time, being embarrassed about it. And it's like, well, we know Jennifer Love Hewitt can sing because she's part of the Disney starlets that are turned pop singer, actor at the same time. And that was before the days of auto-tuning.
Yeah.
So we know she can sing, but she's singing just in a bit off-key and she's laughing and being embarrassed. And I'm like, yeah, you belong on television. Like, you're super charming. And then the scene ends and there's like the soap opera stuff kicked in. And it's like, yeah, I tuned out now.
Yeah.
But one of the things that to me makes it a particularly bad spinoff series is that it killed the original series. Like, Party of Five had Bailey with his girlfriend Jennifer Love Hewitt as the steady couple that manages to sort of do things that the older brother never managed to do. And the older brother always felt that he couldn't do it because, well, he was stuck having to raise four kids. He didn't ask for this, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have this younger brother who's doing everything right, going like, well, you don't know how to raise this family. And it's like, look at your life. You're screwing. And I want to take over. Not realizing that it's because this guy screwed over his life that he's managed to be a steady person.
You know what I mean?
And it was a great dynamic. And it was the central dynamic of the show.
Yeah.
And then when he's forced to lose his girlfriend, his steady rock for a spinoff, well, the entire show lost its central metaphor and dynamic, like its central conflict, and the whole show spiraled out of control.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's try and make a second show, and they destroyed their first one, which was pretty successful, let's face it. That's a gamble that did not pay off, I guess.
No, it's a stupid gamble. Like, okay, I understand you're successful, you want to make a spinoff of something.
Yeah.
Pick someone else than that character.
Yeah. You know? Whom, though, in that?
The on-again, off-again girlfriend of the older brother.
Matthew.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, because she's not essential anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
Of course, admittedly, I think they mostly wanted to capitalize on Jennifer Love Hewitt's sort of, like, she was the it thing at the time.
Yeah.
So they wanted to capitalize on that, but
it kind of worked for me. I watched the first few episodes, and then I stopped because the show was bad.
Yeah.
It was the rise of the internet. Anyway, I didn't need to watch the show to see Jennifer Love Hewitt anymore, so it's all good.
Yeah, and yet you sat through I Still Know What You Did Last Summer with me.
Yeah, that was for Freddie Prinze Jr. He's dreamy, okay? And with that, what is your number two?
My number two pick is also a spinoff of a series that has a number in it.
Really?
Yes.
Nice segue.
It's a spinoff of Three's Company, and it's called The Ropers, which I think only had 6 episodes.
Wow.
And, well, for those of you who don't know, Three's Company is about Jack Ripper living as a roommate with 2 women.
Yeah.
And having to pretend that he's gay to pull that off, even though he's a horn dog.
Yeah.
Because it's the 80s and apparently men cannot be around women without trying to rape them. Unless they're gay.
Something like that.
Yeah. And his landlord was Mr. and Mrs. Roper.
Yeah.
So his landlords
were
Mr. and Mrs. Roper.
Technicality.
And eventually they left and were replaced by Mr. Farley. Now, I only watched those in syndication, obviously, because this is a show from the early 80s and I was too young, you know?
Yeah.
And I always went like, oh, okay, they have a new landlord. Which, when you think about it, like, not that common.
That's true.
And I later found out it's because, you know, they introduced Mr. Farley and outed Mr. and Mrs. Roper because Mr. and Mrs. Roper were going to get their spinoff. Which I eventually got to see. It's so bad. It's just Mr. Roper being grumpy and Mrs. Roper being not grumpy, but without any neighbors to really be grumpier about.
Exactly. If you're just grumpy for the sake of being grumpy, that's just annoying, really.
And in the course of those six episodes, they got so desperate for material and comedy. I kid you not. The cast from Three's Company visited them three times.
Oh, wow. How often do you visit your landlord? Seriously. Unless your landlord is like your father or something that's renting you something, and you go, I could see that, but no, honestly, come on.
And Jack Ripper is still pretending to be gay. Like, it's just complete nonsense.
Well, he has to stay consistent, I guess.
He's not his landlord anymore. The guy can't kick him out anymore. He doesn't have to care.
Yeah. Good point.
So, yeah. So, possibly the worst sitcom spinoff I can think of, and I actually am thinking of Joey.
Joey was okay.
Not Joey was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And then, your number one pick for worst spinoff series.
The Colbert Report. And you might get a lot of hate mail for that, because it is a popular show. It's just, it is so repetitive. I can't stand it. I'm going to watch an episode once in a while. Then you're like, oh, this is funny. I'll watch it next time. Then you watch it the next time and you're like, it's kind of the same thing that you did yesterday. And then you watch it the day afterward and it's like, you know, do you have a repertoire of something? Can you show different kind of humor? It's like, okay, you know, you're pretending to be a Republican pundit. And that was probably even funnier, like before 2008, you know, yes, when Republicans had power as well. But right now, Republican Party is kind of like, I don't want to use the word too hardly, but it's kind of in shambles right now. So it's kind of like you're beating up the handicap kid, you know. It's not as funny anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, the first thing you said is principally the reason why I don't like it either, is it's got one joke. Now, it's a hilarious joke made by a very talented comedian.
Yes.
But it's still one joke.
Indeed.
And I record the Daily Show on my DVR.
Yeah.
And I leave always 5 minutes after, just in case the show runs late or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I always catch the first 5 minutes of Colbert Report.
Okay.
And every time I'm like, oh, I'm into it. And then it cuts off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, after a while of doing this, I eventually always record one episode of Colbert Report.
Yeah.
And I always realize that those 5 minutes is about all I need.
You know, okay. Like,
that's as much as I can take in a row.
Yeah. Which is what he had when he was on The Daily Show. He had like 5 minute segments and he was hilarious. And him playing against Jon Stewart made it even better. But now he's alone. He doesn't have a cast of, you know, other people doing stuff with him. So it's like a one man show with one joke.
It's a mean joke, I find, like to a certain degree. Because The Daily Show makes fun of things from the from Jon Stewart's personal bias and view. So he has a liberal mindset. So he sometimes finds it flabbergasting when conservatives say things that don't make sense. And he reacts to it. Fair enough. But Colbert Report, you know, he turns everything that the conservatives say into something stupid. Even when what they say is not as stupid as you might think if you're not a liberal.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when he was having those 5 minute segments within The Daily Show, it was fine because he could pick and choose and actually choose something absurd.
Yeah.
At half an hour a day, he's forced to like make fun of everything that comes out of the Republican's mouth. And not everything is as stupid as he thinks it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's sort of embarrassing himself a little bit.
That's part of the joke, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, once in a while, it's good, but I don't think that show should have been made, really. He should have stayed on The Daily Show, or, you know.
Or do something else as a spinoff show, something that allows him to get out of that Colbert character.
Yeah, exactly. So, what is your number one?
My number one pick for worst spinoff series, and I think you'll agree with me, it is a spinoff of a movie.
Oh, cool.
Of a beloved movie.
Oh, interesting.
I'm talking about the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Okay, so let me take you down a trip to early 90s.
Yep.
when Indiana Jones has had three amazing movies, the word Crystal Skulls was not in our vocabulary at that time. All we knew was that Harrison Ford was awesome and that he was even more awesome when he had a hat.
Yeah, and a whip.
And a whip. That's what we knew. That's what we thought. And we thought Lucas and Spielberg can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And then they came off with a TV show called The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, telling you the previous adventures of Indiana Jones, since Last Crusade sort of felt like an ending.
Yeah.
One that would not warrant a sequel after that. Certainly not one with aliens.
Indeed.
It sounds like a great idea.
Indeed. Yeah, it does.
But here's the thing. The first thing they did wrong was they framed it under the idea of an elderly Indiana Jones telling the story to some kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And already it's like, oh, that hurts because the last thing I want to do is see an aging Indiana Jones. He was my hero. It comes back to the concept we talked about 2 weeks ago. Like, do not belittle your hero because the hero is the one we want to be.
Yeah, honestly, when I saw hit that old face there, my heart just sank. I'm like, oh, what is that? Ugh. Oh. It was really painful to watch.
He lost an eye. He was rambling half the time. It was clear that he had become irrelevant as a human being. Like, why are you doing this to us?
Yep.
and then the story starts, and then you figure, well, at least the flashback is going to be awesome. And it starts with the young Anakin having adventures.
That's pretty much it.
And it's sort of like, oh, no, too young. Too young.
Yeah.
And then, well, obviously, because he's a kid, the adventures are super boring. Because, you know, what can a kid do without being, you know, child cruelty? And then they sometimes had teenage adventures, and they were equally boring. How did they pull that off?
Yeah, teenagers are reckless, you know. That it doesn't matter about cruelty. Teenagers will do anything because they don't care. They're reckless. So at least the teenage ones should have been more fun and action-packed. But no, it was still a snooze fest.
Oh, it's...
I guess my theory is that they wrote, like, they just wrote the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some guy just split around, you know, randomly, okay, this is young, this is teenager, this is young, this is teenager. So basically, just to give the job to two actors, two different Indiana Jones, and that's what happened.
That's actually entirely possible, though. Because maybe to save on production costs, they might have filmed both, you know, two episodes at the same time, you know, one with the teenage one with the kid one.
Yeah.
That would save on production costs a lot and allow you to pop out more episodes at a time. So that's actually like that sounds like a crazy theory, but it's actually quite possible.
Nice.
Anyway, it hurts so much, that damn show. Yeah. Man.
No, I still remember the face of the old Indiana Jones, and first of all, I was confused. Like, aren't you immortal now? What the hell?
Yes, because he drank from the chalice.
Yeah. So he's like, aren't you immortal? What's happening? And it's not because he left the cave. People say, oh, because he left the cave, he's not going to know. Because one of the knights died of very old age. Very, very old age back. So he shouldn't be that old. And it was like, it was confusing me. But yeah, seeing him like that, it was like, oh, this is sad.
It really hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, in retrospect, it probably hurts less now that I've seen Grand Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls. But still.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'd watch one of those episodes instead of Crystal Skulls, honestly, but that's better.
Well, actually, did you see Crystal Skull?
I saw parts of it. I couldn't finish it. I really couldn't. I was like, this is too bad. The movie beat me, and it's rare that bad movies beat me. I mean, I was able to watch Zardoz doing other stuff, but I still had Zardoz running, you know, on my computer. And I went through all of Zardoz, and I couldn't finish Crystal Skull, okay? That's how bad Crystal Skull was.
Yeah, well, I'll let you in on a little secret. It only gets worse. Like, where did you cut off?
When he's chasing Indiana Jones and with his motorcycle on the train there, is like, where is this going? And I just gave up.
Okay, yeah. I can tell you now, it only gets worse. Like, wow. That movie gets progressively worse. But at the same time, though, you might have missed out in the sense that it gets so bad that your mind just gives up and you start laughing.
Oh, so it's like a Birdemic, basically.
It starts becoming like that. Like, when Shia LaBeouf starts swinging in the jungle with monkeys on various vines.
Oh my god.
And there's the actual Tarzan sound in the background.
Oh my god.
Like, you're like, oh my god, we're getting close to awesome from the wrong end. We're getting close to it. And then when the aliens show up, you've reached awesome from the wrong end.
Wow.
A lot of people go like, oh, Crystal Skull is horrible because it ruined my childhood. If you're going to watch it with that spirit, don't put yourself through that torture.
Okay.
But if you're like, it's a movie and you can accept that it's going to be bad and that makes it funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Watch it till the end.
I don't think about the ruining my childhood thing. Never. It's just, I just think, you know, it was just a cheap cash grab, you know? So the other movies exist and they're great and they were part of my childhood. And this is just a cash grab for, you know, plenty of money. I mean, Lucas is associated with it, so of course it's a cash grab.
Yeah. But it's a cash grab where the cash is going to go to a very good cause, apparently.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, no, but that's a redeeming thing for me about Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. It's that it prepared me for Crystal Skulls, where everybody who didn't watch that series were going like, what did it do to my hero? And I'm like, been there, done that.
Wow. Good point.
Anyway, that's our top three worst spin-off series. And that's it for us this week.
Yeah.
So, if you want to share with us your worst experiences with TV spin-offs, you can write us at mail@idiomanic.com or post a comment at idiomanic.com. We're also always looking for new topics, so please share them with us.
Yeah.
All right.
See you next time.
See you next time.